Good morning and welcome to Spotlight 92. I'm your host, Malvin Massey. And of course, every Thursday we talk to the movers and shakers of the Memphis community, the people that are making things happen for your benefit and mine. And our guest today is here to talk about himself. Well, actually, I asked him to come here so we could talk about him. He's an old friend of ours, an old friend of Memphis, Tennessee, a guy that you know. Maybe you didn't know that those people you were listening to were brought to Memphis by my guest. But he probably brought him to Memphis. He's been promoting shows for a long time. And he is the director of the Germantown Performing Arts Center for the second time.
That's right, Malvin.
Paul Chandler's with me. Paul, good morning, man.
Good morning. It's really, really, really good to see you.
Yeah, man, you too. I was so thrilled that when they finished the search, they said, what about Paul Chandler? You know, I said, oh, yeah, that's the guy. You guys got him.
Yeah, you and I go way, way, way back to the first time. I was at GPAC. I said, GPAC is...
When it first opened.
When it first opened on the second season, it was now 18 years old.
Yeah.
The facility is. And I was 25 years old. I was the assistant director.
Yeah.
In the second season. And I can remember when that place opened, I was like, Ray Charles in Germantown, where's that going to happen? And then, you know, I opened up the newspaper one day because my dad said, you need to get a real job. And I was working in film production. I worked on movie crews and sets and commercials.
Yeah. I thought you disappeared for a while.
I did. So I would go from here to Nashville to Atlanta working on, I probably did in... From 17 to 25, probably about 350 projects.
Yeah.
It's a great experience for a young person. And my dad said, you need to get a real job. And I opened up the newspaper, and it was this assistant director at GPAC. And I read the qualifications. I'm like, that's me. So I applied. It was 100, I'll never forget this, it was 127 applicants. I was the youngest to apply, and I got the job. I think it was because of the pay.
No, I think it was because they knew a good thing when they saw it. I remember talking to, who was it? One of the guys out there. They were so big. They were so up on having you there, your energy that you brought to the place and everything. And they were just, it was just thrilled to death.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of great notes and comments and phone calls about returning to GPAC. It make anybody feel good. And the transition in has been very smooth. I've been, you know, monitoring the venue ever since I left because it always held such an important part of my career. I spent my first 6 years there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like we were saying before, Tanya Castroverde Mosklinko.
Very well.
Love to say her
name. Very well.
We just get a kick out
well
of
done.
It. Tanya, I remember when she was at the Buckman.
Right.
And the young lady that's at the Buckman now was at the other theater that was over by the church on Poplar Avenue.
Well, no, Cindy. Cindy was at GPAC.
Cindy was at GPAC.
She was.
Too,
she was.
Yeah, she Tanya worked. Was at the Buckman.
They switched.
And they switched, and then Tanya went to the GPAC, and Cindy went to the Buckman.
That's right. That's right.
Man, see, that's why I need somebody like you around to remember these things.
Right. So what happened was I was at there for 6 years. I left. I went into did some business with my family in the ad agency and marketing world, and then they called me back. Yes, thank you very much. I learned a lot from my father. I really did, and his teams. And then they came back. I was an interim. I don't know if you remember that. It was a time, and they asked me to come back for 3 months. It turned into 9, and therefore I was on the search committee to find the new director. And Tanya was, you know, there was a committee of 4. Tanya was my pick. Yeah. And I'm glad that they picked her, and I thought she did a great job.
Yeah, she did a great job. She got a lot of things done and set a lot of precedents over there that were innovative.
Yes. The facility is the board is strong. The city support is incredibly strong. Audiences are strong. Financially, we're sound. We always need support, of course. We're always growing in that direction. It was a great time for me to come in with knowledge and with such a strong facility. and keep that machine running, because the season had already started when I started.
Yeah.
That's a hard time to start, man. I got to tell you. That's a hard
time. And now
time.
You've added to it and everything, too.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Lord. You're right.
And of course, your masterful touches. You've added some great people into the set, into the scene, and some great shows coming up. I talked to Pat Martino. I'm so thrilled
right
about
on.
Getting here.
That's going
to
be great, isn't it?
You got that one here. Yeah, man, that's going to be killer.
That is. Lee Grinspoon has been a big, big part of that, helping bring Pat in. And we're going to do some collaborations with the Curb Institute at Rhodes College,
which I have come to discover
and learn about. That's a fantastic program at Rhodes. Yeah. I mean, they should be very proud of that.
They finally decided to do a jazz thing, and they got a jazz crew over there, and these guys really know what they're doing.
Yeah, John Bass, right? Bass, I think John. Yeah. I really like meeting John, and I know we'll do a lot of things in the future. Here's how we're structured. We have a season that we present, and we'll buy that season months in advance, and we're living in that current season, and it'll end in April. But one of the things that that I've done is to pick up shows that are or opportunities that are routing through.
Yeah.
So Pat Martino is one. Mary Chapin Carpenter and Sean Colvin.
Yeah,
March
that
1.
I didn't know about that one until just.
It's selling
now.
like hotcakes, if I can use an old term for a new show. Keb Mo on May 31st. I'm just a Keb Mo fan. I think he's great. He's got a lot of friends around here, so there's no telling what's going to happen. But during the show or after.
But see, that's something else you bring back, that you always will try it.
We're going to try it. If it makes good financial sense and we can make a little bit of money and help us fund our arts and education programs, that's success for us. And then one other one that I'll go ahead and say now, we hadn't even announced it. But I got my confirmation, I think. So I'm 90% sure. Victor Wooten will be here in April on a Wednesday night.
Oh, wow. And, that's another one of those things that this guy, we've got his CD, his last CD he did, Sword and Stone. It's hot all over the country. It's hot on the Jazz Week's chart. I can't get it out of the top 10 in here. And this is coming up right while this CD is hot. This is a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I know how to pick them, huh?
I know. You've been doing it for so long. And you know all these people. I mean, you know the agents.
Yep.
That's what you were doing that at the Peabody, too.
Yeah. Well, before before I was at GPEC, I was a partner in a company called Resource Entertainment Group, which I helped found, almost 9 years ago. It still exists today. I've left that group to take this position on. Accomplished a lot of great work, I thought, over the last 9 years. We put the average would be about $1.3 million into Memphis musicians' pockets on an annual basis.
Yeah.
That's about $15 million impact. No joke, no lie. We were agents and producers. I bought a lot of national talent for corporations, private individuals, casinos. I ran the entertainment on Peabody rooftop for the last several years.
Yeah,
and so that was always a kick. But I'm getting a little old for that. But so that was an awesome experience. And to your point, I developed all these relationships with these agents and managers in New York and L.A. and Chicago and wherever the case may be, mostly those cities. And that's a huge part of what I do, and it has to do with trust, you know?
It's just, you fall into the right thing from the beginning, and you've just maintained over the years. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to get out of this sector.
No. If you just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92. We're talking to Mr. Paul Chandler. He's the director of the Germantown Performing Arts Center and very well known in Memphis circles, Memphis entertainment circles, as a guy who can get the job done and get musicians work.
Yeah.
He's done that for years. But, Paul, you've been there. We here in the communication department, we teach and music, and this is CCFA, so we teach that there is entertainment is beautiful and learn that, but the other side of that business is business. The other side of music is business. The other side of film is business. You've been You've been juggling the two of those for a long time, man. Have things changed an awful lot over the last few years?
Yeah, you know, I give you my take or some one-liners that I use. But, you know, occasionally I would say the entertainment business used to be an industry full of snakes. You know, and you be careful. You pick up the wrong one, you're going to get bitten. Yeah. You get bitten, and that's going to be the end of you. I think that all that's almost completely gone away, and that the people who continue to thrive and survive and have a long career in the music industry are the people who act ethically. They do the right thing. They can be trusted. And those are the ones that I'm certain have a long career. The ones that want to make a quick buck, they'll make quick bucks here and there, and they'll watch too much. And they watch too much TV, and they see what this guy's doing and that guy's doing, and in Hollywood and so forth. And they think that they need to do that, and then they go try to snake somebody. And you know what? Some farmer comes up and just kills that snake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just one, you know, unusual observation. But Memphis, I've sat on a lot of boards and sat through a lot of meetings about Memphis trying to grow its music industry. And we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that really, really want it to happen. A lot of organizations, a lot of dollars have been put forward. We made a lot of strides in the last, I'd say, particularly in the last 6 or 7 years, but I think we got a long, long way to go.
Yeah.
We try to compare ourselves to Nashville, which is a tough monkey to compare yourself to. That's a big gorilla, actually.
Yeah, we can't really reach, like, we haven't reached that stage. Right. It'll take us a long time.
I mean, the city leaders and the business leaders, it's a vital part of our tourism and our can be a big part of our growth, and it's just good, clean fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to do my little part on that too, and everybody else needs to.
Seems like some of the music industry ideas that in Memphis have gotten sort of jaded. I mean, you know, as far as the fact that yes, it's home of the blues and Elvis, King of Rock and Roll.
And the birthplace of rock and roll and the sound of soul.
Yeah, but there's so much more. And that's one thing that the GPAC does, and I'm so thrilled about that. And the idea of keeping the arts alive all the way across the board. And we were discussing it earlier about the idea of classical music and jazz sort of melding the audiences together, at least melding the into the same sort of audiences.
Yeah, I'm seeing the age group, you know, of the classical music audience base, and then I'm looking at the our main stage jazz performance. I'm looking at that age group and looking at the you know, what I'm seeing is intelligent, sophisticated, music-minded or arts-minded individuals who are really, really attentive at our shows.
Mm.
And so we're not targeting 25-year-olds, 24-year-olds, and 21-year-olds. It's just they don't want to come and sit down. One day we'll make an event just for them, and that'll help us build audience. We do a lot for young people, so under the age of 16 and 10. And
I think it's pretty cool that it's so inclusive.
To have
something out there for everybody.
Yeah, there is something for everybody there, but you know. I think one of my speeches is going to be around, you know, getting away from the TV and coming and experience live entertainment. I mean, there is just nothing. People hear it all the time, but I've been recharged on what it feels like to sit down and escape for 90 minutes, or in the Savion Glover show the other night,
that was
2 hours
of continuous dance percussion.
Yeah, let's talk about that show.
That
you want to?
It was a percussion show, like you say.
It was like percussion. I mean, Savion Glover is a hoofer or a tap dancer. He's the best guy. He's the best in the world. He was made famous. A lot of people know him from Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk. you know, he sort of took the place of Gregory Hines' position as the best guy in the world. He's very charismatic. And he performed for 2 hours, and he took he took a few 30-second pauses. He let the other guy dance for 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5-10 minutes maybe.
And
they sort of swapped up, but only a couple of times.
Right.
Because there was always something going on.
Yeah.
One guy was like the drummer and the other guy was the percussionist.
Right.
The rhythm continued. It was weird, the setting, because he had this Asian guy meditating behind him. I still don't know what that was all about.
I mean, either. Everybody was on a platform. So Savion and his guy, Michael Davis, I believe his name is. They were right next to each other on 2 4x6 platforms that were mic'd. And I don't know what that material was they were tapping on. It was almost like a specialty wood, or even maybe a synthetic. I don't know what I meant to go look at that, but I didn't. And then a guy in the back corner, also on a similar riser with a PA behind him, a speaker, meditating in different positions.
Yeah, I mean, and he changed positions. I never noticed when I just noticed, wow, he changed. When did he do that? You
know? I never saw him change either. I'm so glad you said that. If anybody has the time, go online and look at John Sparks' review of that show. John Sparks nailed it. John Sparks wrote about that show was spot on. It really was. John did a great job.
Well, it was a good show. And again, it shows the variety of entertainment. But for, like you said, get up off the couch and come and see something live. You know, see somebody do something that you've never seen them do before.
That's right. You know, we were going to be, not that we already aren't already are, but GPAC wants to be the venue in that side of our community, meaning however you want to call it, the eastern part of Shelby County. But, you know, we don't have any venues of our size near us, particularly ones that can do the variety of performances that we do. Yeah. And another thing that you'll see from GPAC is we're going to redo our web presence so that it's very, very simple to show you everything that goes on. Right now, we put up what we're presenting, but Opera Memphis will be moving its performances here. So we have their shows coming up, and we'll have community orchestras and student shows. So there's really something for everybody, and our prices are going to range from, you know, from free to $50.
And you've got art exhibits. You've got art exhibits going on. The idea of, what do you think about the feel of culture in this town? Are the arts as strong in Memphis as they are in New York?
Let's pick another one. Topeka? No. You know, that's an interesting question, Malvin. Are the arts as strong? You know, I think every major city, secondary, tertiary city in America has a performing arts community. Many have a ballet company. Many have an orchestra. Many have a university. And that is very, very common nationwide. And I go to annual conferences and see the Paul of Tulsa and the the who knows the Malvin of Sacramento. But, you know, we can't get away from our vast music heritage. And I think that heritage has fueled musicians to come here, performers to come here. I think our business community does a pretty darn good job of supporting the growth of the arts. And it's apparent they know it's important. The good news is I think it's always growing every year. Yeah. So we're not on the decline. We're on the uprise. And so, you know, quite frankly, I haven't lived in I'm a born and raised Memphian. So I travel a lot and I see a lot of things. Yeah. So I think we're doing exactly what we should be doing, and we're doing exactly what we're destined to do as a city.
Yeah. But if you're just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92. We're talking to Mr. Paul Chandler, director of the Germantown Performing Arts Center. New director for this, well, you know, I don't know.
The new old was new, interim was assistant, yeah.
Like the new old Christine, what's Julia Dreyfus's assistant.
Right.
But, yeah, you, the idea of being there, you've got some, and of course you had ideas when you started.
Yeah.
So then it took on the flavor of Tania Castroverde Mosquelinco because she was there. She was all involved in it. Now she's gone on, run away from us. And gone
she went to Indiana. That's right.
And she's doing her thing up there. It's back in your hands. You being the guy that you are, I know you to be. What are we looking at?
I can tell you.
What are we looking forward to here?
As I said before, we operate by seasons. So yeah. I just, my 2013-14 season has everything booked but two shows, which I think I'll firm up at least by the end of this week. We're going to have a dance series. We're going to have a jazz series. We're going to up the number. I hope your listeners like this part. We're going to up the number of jazz performances from 4 to 5. Mm-hmm. And the Chucho Valdez show that canceled, well, postponed because his plane broke down on the runway in Canada.
He was very embarrassed about that, too.
It wasn't his fault. But, everybody tried really, really hard. But there's just kind of hard to get Chucho Valdez from Toronto to Memphis with a couple hours notice on how airlines can be. We don't want to talk about airlines. I ain't got some real opinions about that. So that show will happen. So there'll be 6 mainstays jazz shows this year,
wow,
more than ever. So I'm love reporting that first on WUMR and to my friend Malvin. That's going to be exciting. Our Jazz in the Box series is going to continue. I got to book those within the next 2 weeks. Got a lot of great ideas. Like to talk to you, Malvin, about your insight on some of the things we're looking at. That Jazz in the Box is going to be pretty cool. I think I'm going to entertain Flipping the House. So the Jazz in the Box happens in the Studio Theater.
Right.
It's 105 seats, bistro style tables with a bar and so forth.
Yeah.
But we sell out in advance. Well, and the season doesn't make money. So we at least need to start approaching break even to meet our mission and to be, smart. So I'm thinking about flipping the house. So we'll do 2 shows in one night, just like the Blue Note.
Just like you do Hollywood.
Just like you do in jazz clubs in big cities. So if we're going to be like big cities, we're gonna play like that.
Yeah.
So anyways, more of all that later. We'll get some feedback, see if that works for everybody. But that would be exciting. More people will be able to get to see the show.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to create an American music series. I realize that jazz is an American music genre. So
we got the Great American Songbook, but American music is an awful lot of music, man.
That's right. So I'm gonna play with country and bluegrass and soul and R&B, and we're gonna test those and kind of put those together in its own little package.
Every time you say bluegrass, I keep mentioning Rhonda Vincent and Rage.
I know. She almost ended on this season. She almost ended up on this season, but we're gonna look for her later.
Yeah.
What was I going to tell you? So then we have our family series, which is going to be pretty exciting for, children of all ages, and then all of our programs. But there's 2 things that will be part of our, sales machine. One already exists, which is our annual gala. This year's on April 13th. It's going to be, it'll be a ton of fun. We'll have more of all that later, but it's going to be a Saturday in April.
Yeah.
And the other one is we're creating a wine and food festival.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with a focus on music and visual art, and the art of food and the art of wine. And so I don't know if everybody knows, but my wife is a food writer, restaurant designer, and foodie, and so we've traveled a lot on food and wine festivals, so we're going to raise a little money at GPAC, and we're going to do a festival in the fall, inside and outside. So we're going to have music and food and wine and revelry and bright colors and beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound cool?
That sounds really cool, man. See, that's what I mean. The expertise that you bring on this on a whole another scale of experience. Plus, still got the Iris Orchestra.
Yes, absolutely. Iris is, you know, that's our, you know, quote unquote resident orchestra, if you will. It's we do a lot with a lot of orchestras. It was created at GPAC during the time while I was there. I mean, I sat in the room with Bertellian and Stern while they concocted this idea and wrote notes. It was, you know, one of the most interesting and largest cultural endeavor I've ever been involved with. And orchestra, I don't know, I hate to put it in this terminology, that product is at the highest level. I mean, that is really, really great, great music, executed very well. And they are a part of our performance season, and they will produce four to six shows for the 13-14 season. They're going to announce in a couple weeks, so I'll let them toot their horn.
Diana come by, she'll call me.
Right.
we'll work that one out. But the schedule is it looks like pretty cool so far for what's going on. And you've got the other one started up already. Paul, you have taken over now the cultural it's the cultural icon of a certain group of us who are really interested in the arts, really love the arts, really sort of frustrated with pop culture to a certain extent, and at the same time would be inclusive of certain elements of the pop culture just for the experience of seeing what's up with it.
Right. You know? I love those people you're talking about. I like to see, you know, a long, long time ago, my parents asked me, I remember they were like, what is it that you want to do? And and when you're in that age, and then they said, what brings you joy? And I'll never forget. I like it when I have an effect on a large group of people who are happy or entertained or excited about something. And that I feed off of that.
All right. Oh.
I don't know. It's just a really strange thing. It's the thing that gives me joy. And fishing.
For a marketing guy, you know, a suit, as we always use.
Right.
That's good to know. You know, it's good. And well, obviously, because you've been in the field now for a lot of years.
I know. And I'm only 43 years old, and I've been doing this for a long time. So I think I'm here to stay. I'm in for the long haul. You know, we were talking earlier. When we were talking about the Savion Glover show, I've come to realize that I spend as much time paying attention to what the audience is doing as I do what the artist is doing. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but maybe that what helps me improve my skill.
That's your marketing background, too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That helps me improve my skills, I think. It helps me make good decisions because we can be artistically challenging. Yeah. In any sector, and our venue has done that a lot, and we'll continue to do that. But darn it, we're going to have a good time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's going to be fun, and you're going to walk away engaged and excited.
And say, wow, did you see what those Chinese dancers did?
Yeah, beat America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not that there's anything wrong with America's Got Talent, but, you know, my friends, the Flippers, were on America's Got Talent. A lot of Memphis were, but, you know, man, you just get up, get out of the house, and come over here to GPAC, sit in a cozy seat. We'll turn the lights off and blow your mind.
Experience the action instead of watching it on TV, experience it live. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I'm trying to figure out a tagline, you know. Maybe if anybody has any ideas, send them to me. You know, join the journey or experience something. Anyways, we're going to have a new tagline. Hey, one thing I want to mention, GPAC is 18 years old right now.
Okay.
And we're going to spend the rest of this year and next year polishing up our gem. What does that mean? I mean, we're going to do some refinishing, and we may paint some things, and we may knock some walls down and put some windows here and that and there. And the city wants to be very supportive of that, and I'm very grateful. And all of that leads up to our 20th year anniversary, which is November 19th, 2014. So on November 19th, 1994, Ray Charles played that hall, and that is our birthday.
That was the opening.
That was the Ray opening. Charles. I wish we could have Ray again. That would be something. But, and Stevie Wonder's out of our budget. But we're going to do something all year round. We'll probably, revisit a lot of our great successes. Yeah, man, if I could get Bobby McFerrin to come to Germantown again.
Well, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Bobby kind of likes where Bobby is right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, doing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Things like that. I encourage folks to, you know, get involved and get online. Go to our Facebook. Go to our website. Just sign up. We'll keep you informed.
GPACWeb.com.
That's right.
GPACWeb.com.
And the Facebook is really easy to find.
Yeah, it's really on there too. I had to go and get a new vest for the gala. My tux. I lost it when we moved to the new
house. You lost it at a party when you were wearing your tuxedo?
I lost it when we moved to the new house.
Right.
But
that'll be cool. That'll be cool on the gala on the April 13th. Yeah, that's going
to be fun. Paul, thanks so much for coming by and being a guest, man.
Malvin, it is my pleasure.
I'm looking forward to a lot of great shows at the GPAC.
Thank you.
All right. And this has been Spotlight 92. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, you're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.